Most of the time, the first thing you're looking for in a meta-analysis is a weighted mean effect size. You got a whole bunch of things and you want to know, on average, what's the direction and size of the effect. And so what we're going to do is, instead of adding up the effect sizes and dividing by the number of effect sizes, we multiply each effect size by its weight, add up the weighted effect sizes, and divide by the sum of the weights rather than the sum of the cases. How are we doing? When you weight something, the weighting becomes what you count. They're not equally weighted, so they're not just one each. So that's the first place we're heading to in doing a meta-analysis. But a lot has gone on to get here. We have selected and obtained studies. We've coded the shit out of things. We've extracted our effect size. We've done a normal distribution. And perhaps we've adjusted for unreliability, range restriction, or outliers. We're about to assume there is a single population of studies represented and that all have the same effect size except for sampling error. Let's stop and talk about that. Our friend the normal distribution was not brought to us by statisticians. Our friend the normal distribution was brought to us by a physicist by the name of Gauss. That's why it's also known as a Gaussian distribution. What this sumbitch was supposed to be was the distribution of charges in particles, which should all be exactly the same. And probably are exactly the same. And the reason we have a distribution is because of measurement error, not natural variability. Now that's where the distribution came from. What's the distribution look like of things that all ought to have the same variable, but have some measurement and production error? We don't use it because that describes our behavior. But the way we partition variability is tied to what we believe about where does the distribution come from. And in the simplest form of meta-analysis, we are literally assuming that all of the studies in our pile ought to have produced the same effect size. The only reason they don't is random variability. Now, there were several world-class eye rolls as I was saying that, because it's kind of silly. But you have to know that one of the ways of analyzing data really assumes and depends on that being true, and another kind doesn't. We'll get there. Now, by the way, we had this same decisional choice in analyzing regular data. We could say to ourselves, the only difference between people is measurement error. Or we could say, no. People are different. We expect them to be different. And we're going to carve that up into two chunks, effect and individual differences or error. We've already chosen to assume that people's scores represent differences, not error. Now we have to decide whether effect size differences are going to represent real differences or just error. How are we doing? Yes.
Is the W in that equation the inverse weighted?
Yes. Okay. It's any weight, but we're going to use an inverse variance weight. This can be applied to any definition of the weights you use as long as they're the same across all the cases. So here they are. Fixed versus random effects meta-analysis. As you go on into other statistical models, every statistical analysis you're going to go into, you're going to have to decide whether the effect you're looking at is fixed or random. And it always means the same thing. Sometimes it's represented a little bit differently, but it always means the same thing mathematically. In a fixed effects model, well, let's do it this way. There's two choices, fixed and random. There always are two choices, fixed and random. The fixed almost always gives you the stronger result because it literally assumes there's no confounds. That the only reason you have a big value is because you have a strong effect. The only reason you have a small value is you have a small effect. There's nothing influencing that or pushing it around. The random effects says there's three sources in the world. There's the effect, there's error, and there's also biasing, confounding things. When you take those out, the effect sizes appear smaller and weaker. It's the nature of a random effects model. It takes into account the fact that there's slop in the world and it's meaningful. So how do you conceptualize the source of variation? Why don't all studies have the same effect? That's what you have to answer for yourself. How do you compute the estimate and the error of estimate? And that influences the statistical results you get. With the bias that fixed effects models tend to give you more significant effect sizes. So in a fixed effect model, we assume each study of the meta-analysis used the same operationalizations of the design condition and the same external validity elements. Roll those eyes. But that's what we're assuming when we say fixed. The only source of variation among them is chance, error, oopsie. Some also say they assume that the IV in each treatment is manipulated because that's another meaning of the word fixed in statistics. Some people use fixed and measured the way we use manipulated and measured. And a manipulated variable is supposed to have less error than a measured one. If I know that you have 10 practices because I stood over your ass and watched for all 10 times, that 10 is a better 10 than I say, by the way, how many times did you study? No, let's say 10. Okay? So fixed is a combination of how it was produced and the consistency of that production. Based on this, the studies in the meta-analysis are assumed to be drawn from a population of studies that all have the same effect size except for sampling error. So, the sampling error is inversely related to the size of the sample, which is why the effect size of each is weighted. And so we get our friendly, happy little effect size estimates. And then we weight them, because the only thing that's going on is error. So notice, there's only one thing going on here, error. Error is tied to sample size, so the only thing in here is sample size. How are we doing? Random effects models assume that different studies use different operationalizations of the design conditions and or different external validity elements. Based on this, studies in the meta-analyses are assumed to be drawn from a population of studies that have different effect sizes for two reasons: sampling variability and real differences in the way they were conducted. So the sampling error is inversely related to the size of the sample and directly related to the variability across the population of studies, which means in order to get that inverse variance weight, we need two things. We need to know how much error there is that's tied to sample size and how much variability there is across the studies that we think isn't just error. And so we have to go estimate the part that's tied to sample size, and we have to go estimate the part that is real differences across members of that population. Go ahead. I'll show you.
I've sat in on a lot of conferences, and there's a lot of questions about how they've done things, like how do you quantify
these? Yes. Well, the idea is, in ANOVA, we take all of the variability and we carve it up into two pieces, between and within. If we have more information than just what IV condition you're in, if we know the value on other variables, we can expand the model to include those. The bottom line is, if we take the total variability and suck out of it that which is pure error, the stuff that's left over is attributable to the IV and other stuff. So basically, we do the same thing we do in hand calculating ANOVA. You calculate the total variance because it's easy. You calculate the within variance because it's easy. And you subtract them to get the between. You're going to see something just like that. In fact, if you stare at this enough, it kind of looks like a sum of squares formula. And that's all it is. How do you choose between them? The assumptions of the fixed effect model are less likely to be met than those of the random effect model. Even replications don't use the same external validity elements and operationalizations. Sampling error estimate of the random effects model is likely to be larger because we're not saying that everything going on between groups is due to chance. We're saying there's stuff going on. There ought to be a difference between groups. So obviously the estimate of what's going on between groups is going to be larger if there ought to be something going on than a model that assumes there's nothing going on. We're literally weighting between group variability zero in a fixed effects model. We're not even checking. We're just saying, ain't none. And we're going to see this in different statistical models as we work up through the chain. Hey, you didn't find an interaction. No, I didn't. Oh, wait, you didn't put an interaction term in a model. See, there's no interaction. Wait. If I don't put a predictor in a model, I can't test it. Right? If I don't allow for variability across groups, I can't decide if it's big enough to worry about. If I just set it to zero and sweep it out of the way, that's not the same as finding it's zero. Testing and finding no impact is different than not testing and saying there's none. One of those is lying, cheating, and stealing. It's possible to test to see if the amount of variability among a set of effect sizes is larger than would be expected if all of the effect sizes come from the same population. In other words, some clever statisticians, Lord bless them, found us a null that gives us a test of a hypothesis we care about. If the variability in a set of scores is no more than would be expected by chance, then we can say there's no more than would be expected by chance. So the fixed effects model makes sense. But if there is more variability than would be expected by chance, something other than chance is operating. Go with the random effects model. Now let me be honest and clear. Many people like that, many people don't. Many people see the choice between fixed and random as no choice because the fixed effect model makes no sense. We don't have procedural replication. Therefore, even if the data look kind of like it, because of a null retention, fuck that. I don't believe it anyway. I don't care what that test is. I don't believe that these are really replications of each other, so I need that variance to be partitioned out, even if it's not reasonably different from zero. This is one of those choice points where some people treat as an empirical choice point and do the test I'm going to show you. Other people say, no, this is not empirical. This is truth, love, beauty, and the statistical way, and this is the only acceptable choice. Which, there's been enough work on it, on the two, that it's very difficult to do anything other than be biased. And so what you got to know is you got to know the biases in your research community, and you have to hide unto them unless you're going to go to war. I've done both. Shit like that entertains me. It is very common advice to compute mean effect sizes both ways and report both results. Very often you discover you don't get an interesting difference between them, at which point you're safe. This is the same basic logic as, should I run an LSD or an HSD? And I say, I don't care. What are you afraid of? If you're afraid of type 1 errors, run an HSD. If you're afraid of type 2 errors, run an LSD. By the way, you could run them both, and if they match, you're off the hook. Well, my sample size isn't great, my measurement isn't great, and it's not really a normal distribution. Should I use a parametric or a non-parametric statistic? Well, it depends what you're afraid of. Are you afraid of the less precision of the non-parametric, or are you afraid of the assumption bias of the parametric? Or you could run both and see if they match and you're off the hook. This is not the first time we've run into this, and I promise you ain't going to be the last. There's a beautiful set of models, the Poisson and the negative binomial, that are beautifully designed for looking at positively skewed distributions. And a lot of us are going to work with positively skewed distributions. Just about anything where there's count data, and there's a lot of zeros and some ones and some twos, and whoosh, tails off after that. For the last 20 years, How do you choose between them? You run both, and the one that fits the model better, that's the one we say we're going to use. This is not a foreign idea. Not to us, and not to the larger statistical world.